Oh, right. So I've been watching a lot of Seinfeld.
Yeah, that's a show about nothing.
It's literally a show about nothing, but like, all right, so me...
And
me,
they tried to start a show about nothing in that show about nothing.
Yeah, yeah, sounds great. Yeah.
It's really, it's very meta. But me and Rachel are weird. We have to have something on, like the TV or whatever, falling asleep. And Hulu has this weird thing to where you can, it saves your watch history.
Oh, yeah.
But when you watch Seinfeld, it auto skips the last end 5 minutes.
Oh, that's a pain.
So when you go back to rewatch it, it's literally the last 5 minutes of the episode playing.
Which is him
all
on stage.
Night. Of him just like, what's the deal with this?
So what you're saying is after
for
a while.
For hours on that, end.
So you've been driven insane by Jerry Seinfeld stand-up at the end of the episode.
Because if we forget to clear the watch history, it's going to do that for 5 seconds.
That's one of the circles of hell.
Yeah.
That subconscious training is going to melt your brain.
Exactly. And I think it's because Hulu's organization system is complete fucking ass.
The Inferno says that's the sixth circle of hell.
It is. And it's just Jerry sitting there, what's the deal with fire? Over and over.
Virgil had to go really fast on that tour.
Not even the bass part, because it's not an actual bass, it's a keyboard. But it's the guy, his whole thing is that, like, he has like a Facebook page and everything, and his big stitch is that he tells people it's not a bass guitar, it's a keyboard. And everyone's like, wow, I learned something new.
Everyone's like, what's up with
that? It's a big thing, because everyone learns how to play it on bass and do covers on YouTube. And this one guy, I would say his main accomplishment is the Seinfeld theme song.
So he contributed to society.
He is so proud that he's tricked people into thinking that it's done on a bass guitar, that it's on a keyboard. So the seventh circle of hell is this guy sitting there on a fucking keyboard saying it's not a real, it's not a bass, it's a keyboard, it's a keyboard.
It's because the '80s. This was the peak of Casio and Yamaha and that kind of shit, right?
But just bad TV in general. But the seventh circle of hell is him just sitting there explaining
bragging about.
And you tell him, like, I get it, man. He's like, no, listen one more time.
Doesn't that sound like a bass guitar? No, but it's a keyboard, though. It's not a bass guitar.
He just keeps repeating himself over and
No, you don't understand.
Over.
No, it's a bass guitar.
Exactly.
No, it's not a keyboard. Guys, it's a bass guitar. I mean, it's not a bass guitar.
That's all of YouTube circa 2019.
It's a keyboard. It's a keyboard.
It's a keyboard.
It sounds like a bass guitar.
It does sound like a bass guitar.
Doing deep dives into mundane, like
sitcoms and shit,
drivel, like melt your brain shit.
We're testing that out right now. We're just gonna see how that works out.
I watched one today.
You look so concerned, Tina. What's wrong?
I watched one today on Reboot, actually.
Oh, Reboot was great, dude.
Such a great show.
I got some CGI in there.
Shout out to Cro-Mag Toys. They have Reboot figures right now.
They bought
a lot from someone. Yeah,
What's up.
They look terrible, but they look great.
Well, because they're old. Yeah, I actually know when they were done. They were done around the first season, second season. And it was by a Canadian company, too.
Tina, you look really concerned about the Seventh Circle of Hell being the guy who made the Seinfeld bass theme song, just explaining to you over and again that it's not done on a bass guitar.
It's in the Inferno, Tino. This is all very well documented.
So the final circle is just the episode about the BO over and over.
No.
Holy shit.
What I'm concerned about.
Is hell just Seinfeld?
Yeah, it's entirely Seinfeld.
It's entirely Seinfeld.
But it's just the bad episodes?
No, it's not necessarily only the bad episodes. The good episodes give you hope.
You're a racist in real life and you die and you go to Seinfeld hell, you are in a VR game where you play Kramer saying the derogatory terms in a stand-up over and over and over again.
Yep.
And then that's your personal hell.
That's your personal hell for eternity.
I feel that's very fit. And then fucking you in the ass or some shit.
Satan is actually a three-faced Seinfeld chewing on the other characters.
See, there's your three.
What's the deal with hell?
What is the deal with
you're
hell?
Wearing a Tino's wearing a red polo. Have you ever seen your pretty faces going to hell?
I have.
If we paint
Am I
your
embodying
face red
that right now,
you could be in that show right
now.
Oh
my god! I never changed when I got off work. So
how was hell?
What'd you do today? I don't want to talk about it.
Is the AC working down there, or a little bit warm?
It surprisingly is. It's only 100 degrees today instead of 115 like it was yesterday.
Oh, shit.
Good deal.
The humidity was 500%.
Yeah.
Is your AC really not working?
That's just a lake.
No, it does. It does. Actually sit underneath like two vents.
That's water.
So when it's on, water.
That's like heavy water.
we're failing to talk. Oh, remember the last podcast?
Well, here's a transition.
Yeah.
How's really your good. Workspace there?
I actually just cleaned up my workspace. Like,
wait, what do you do?
Can
you talk about it?
Yeah, yeah. I can't do specifics.
Sign an NDA.
On your resume.
Yeah. So I do.
Wait, hang on. You have a job outside of this podcast?
What?
I'm sorry you had to find out this way.
Oh, shit. That's like a fan.
Wait a
found
minute.
Out by Brandon's other podcast.
Dude, yeah. Joel, find Tino's contract.
Oh, shit.
I think you might be in violation of our non-compete clause.
Uh-oh.
The Cutting Mat has team of crack lawyers. No, really, they're not good.
Is this when you get a new sign-off, Ray?
They're all crackheads.
They're all crack lawyers.
It's just scribble and shit, and we're just like, all right, you're the lawyer, bud.
Oh, man. Okay.
What do you do?
So I'm a product photographer and graphic designer for a a printer toner.
Same high
company.
Five.
Wait. So you guys are artists?
I guess.
That seems about right.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Kinda. But normally my desk is full of products. There's all kinds of crap all over the place, and I've got a big U-shaped desk, so there's a lot of surface. I recently got rid of all of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit.
And reorganized everything, and now I've got a nice little, art wall where I keep all my sketches and other stuff, and I've got a little corner with all my little Borderlands figurines that I play with on my desk.
I'm sure you have some Borderlands.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I have a similar thing. My desk is also covered in products, but it's products that I bought at the supermarket, and it's all aluminum cans.
What do you do? Hold on, real quick. I don't think anyone knows what
you do. Beer cans, monster cans. It's cans of, LaCroix.
Beer cans?
At work?
At your work desk?
Oh, no, I don't do gunplay my work desk.
Oh, shit.
No.
Wait, can you talk about what you do, Josh?
Yeah.
What do you do?
I make and sell drugs.
You're not lying.
No, he's not joking.
You're not joking. I mean, not legal.
Where's the punchline there?
I do biopharma, so I'm a process development engineer at a biomolecular. Well, I'm a biomolecular
engineer.
That sounds
like a lot of organizational shit.
Yeah, a little bit. A lot of bit.
Bailey, what do you do? Can you talk about what you do?
Yeah.
What do you do?
It's completely open and public, and I don't do anything.
What?
No. Normally, I'm an instructor, adjunct instructor at a community college, but right now I am working on my dissertation for my PhD.
Sweet.
Fuck yeah. So you obviously have a lot of organizational shit to do when you're teaching. And
yeah, we'll go with that.
Okay, there you go.
So,
and then I do kind of what Tino does. I do product photography and graphic design, but I do it for a small company of 7 people that make T-shirts for metal bands. So it's a lot more intimate with product photography, but also organization is fucking key because we have screens for the screen press and stickers and all this other shit and pins
timeline.
And shirt. We have a mass online warehouse of stock we have to keep up with. And I think that's kind of going to bring us to the point of this episode here today is we're going to talk about organizational stuff involved with the hobby and then also routines.
Yeah, I mean, specifically, it's about organizing your life to fit your hobby in and also organizing your physical workbench to fit all your tools in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like ergonomics, right? You think about ergonomics, you're fitting the environment to match the job. Whenever you're doing ergonomics with your hobby, you got to make sure that your workbench makes logical sense and that you can find all your tools and use them and not cause additional stress to yourself while you're trying to have fun with your hobby. Why do we even do hobbies?
To relax.
Is that right?
To chill, man.
To chill.
I haven't been doing my hobby right for a long time.
To mellow out and just let your brain go to mush.
To not be,
To
have an escape.
To have a release, exactly, an escape from what you're typically doing.
And that's why we tied in routine, because you have your physical, your physical organization, you've got your strategic time organization. I think it's going to be a fairly important topic. You guys, artists, you have artist workbenches, right? This is kind of like Gunpla's
at work or in the hobby room.
I mean, this is interesting.
I have a hobby studio.
This is very interesting. Yeah,
I've got 3 separate places that I do art stuff. You got to be a little more specific.
Well, check this out. Do you do different types of art on those 3 places?
Or
visual art, Gunpla.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because you're doing physical and digital and, I think that's it.
Yeah.
Those are the 2 main mediums you have 2 different workspaces for.
But you're different art media requires different tools.
Yes.
How do you organize your tools? Do you do it the same way across all 3 of your workbenches?
No, absolutely not.
See, that's really interesting. Different jobs.
Yeah.
So,
isn't one of those, don't you do a lot of work outside as well, like on the go?
Yes.
Don't you do like work, you're able to do your art in like a coffee shop, don't you, a lot?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I've got like my pencils and stuff in my book bag, and I've also got a spot for my tablet and like my clipboard that I finally got back from Joel. I can now finally like draw on scraps of paper.
Clipboards are expensive. Not everybody can afford a clipboard. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, yeah.
They don't just hand those out either.
Oh, no, they do not. You have to be official. Like, you see somebody walking around holding a clipboard, checking things, that's an official person.
Oh, dude, when I judge shit
with a clipboard,
tell
them your Social Security
number. I'm a cloud
number.
Nine, man. No one's shit.
It's like that thing that Dr.
Clearly
Who has.
You should trust that
you know,
person with
Doctor
your
Who's
personal
got
information.
The psychic
Everyone
paper?
Looks for the guy with the clipboard, you know, especially in an office setting. You know, what's going on? Who's got a clipboard? Oh, that guy. Yeah. Well, let's talk to him.
He knows what's up. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He can't be wrong.
And
like our crackhead lawyer.
Look at crackhead lawyers. We saw
team,
on the side
guys.
Of the road, and they
it's
just all had clipboards.
It's a whole
like,
team.
They smell like fermented ass, but hey.
But he had a clipboard.
They had a clipboard.
Madly
yeah.
going on
they
it.
They prefer the term crack lawyers. They're a crack team of lawyers.
Crack lawyers.
They're a crack team.
I feel like I need to document like the different spots that I work at now just so that I have it in visual and not have to commit it to memory to tell people because
it's a good idea.
I'm having a hard time remembering things.
So I think where Brandon was kind of going with this is that you have different spots to do different things.
Yeah.
And I recently reorganized my hobby studio and I made different spots for different things. I've got a table for photography. I've got a flocking cart.
Yep.
Yeah.
With all the flocking stuff on there. I've got a build desk. I've got a computer desk.
Utility carts are awesome.
They're the fucking best, man.
Dude.
They're the best purchase you can ever make is at Michael's. And
but
get a
you've got
cart.
Stations. You set up stations. Different station for different task. Ergonomics, right? You can organize your station to make sure that you can do the thing that station is specialized for. Like, think about painting. When you're doing airbrushing, you're probably going to want a hood.
In a booth, yeah.
Yeah,
want a booth.
You're going to want a space because you don't want to sit there blowing paint out of your airbrush where you take photos.
Right. So
or where your computer is, you know?
And that's the thing. You're going to also need to organize that station to make sure that you have access to all your paints. So
exactly.
General concept that applies to organizing any kind of workspace. It is the first order retrieval rule, made popular by Adam Savage.
Adam Savage is a fucking great dude. I don't care if people say about
fantastic.
Him.
Fantastic.
I got that book. I haven't read it yet because I don't know how to read. But I got that book.
Everything's a hammer.
Tool, everything's a hammer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Every tool's a hammer.
Every tool's a hammer. And I remember watching one of the tested videos where he talks about the first order retrieval.
Yep.
And then I was like, well, shit, I don't have that set up.
Dude, me neither.
My shit's just fucking scattered everywhere.
Summarize this for us, Joel. First order retrieval.
It's having your tools that you use the most in the most convenient spot.
Yeah.
To grab. You know where it is every single time.
Mm-hmm. And it's first order. First order means you don't have to move any other tool to get to your
exactly
the one that you want.
You know, like usually when I build, I start with the nippers and then I use the secondary nippers and then I go to the files and the sanding sticks and I know exactly where that stuff is and there's nothing interfering with those things.
So even at a more basic level, even before you get to that point, is just having a space and sticking to that space in terms of where you put your stuff.
And the thing he kind of talks about too with his workshop and I've also like other builders and stuff too they talk about is there's a difference between having just a clean area and then having an area that is truly organized to where you have that first retrieval process put into place.
Yep. And you can have an organized area that's not clean also. These are two fully separate concepts.
You can have ordered organized
chaos.
Clutter.
Right. Organized clutter is kind of what I like. If I'm working on a project, I just set my tools down on the workbench. But I know where they are, and I achieve first order retrieval because I know they're all laid out next to each other. Mm-hmm. But I know that if I leave them there, it's going to interfere with the project because I'm going to run out of space.
Exactly.
And that's the thing. You know, when you have a designated workspace, you only have a finite amount of table space.
Exactly. That's true. I mean, I kind of do it when I'm cooking. Like, I like to have, you know, a clean area before you get started.
Oh, yeah.
And you might have stuff there, but you do a quick little cleanup, and then you know you've got your stuff. But when I'm doing that, those tools are going back to those spots.
You
that
know exactly where
exactly,
everything is.
And then you're going to reach back for them, and they're going to be there when you get started.
It's like in a cartoon whenever they're like doing a surgery, and they have the tray of all the tools, and it has like a there's like a pipe wrench, and there's like a you know a hammer on there, and like a giant wood saw, and then like a little scalpel.
Bone saw.
Right.
iPod Nano.
Right,
no
bone saw spanner.
Lollipop.
Suture. Lollipop.
This conversation is making me realize my little habits when I do stuff.
Okay,
and
what habits?
It's like blowing my mind. Well, okay, so like my book bag is my mobile workstation.
Yeah.
It's got everything that I need in it, and I take it everywhere with me.
Yeah.
When I take everything out of it when I'm drawing, I put it all in a certain spot.
Yeah.
And I leave it there, and I swap things out as I go, and I put it back.
No matter where you go.
No matter where I go. Same I will. Layout. It's always right. It's on the right.
Yep.
It's within, like, not even half an arm's reach, and I just go. It doesn't get in the way.
But see what
I'm
you're
laughing
doing.
Because we're back to adulting.
But that's not adult. So what what Tino's just described is a routine.
It is. It's good.
Yeah.
But don't. Don't ask. don't expect that from people below a certain age.
Right. Yeah, true.
No, this is something that
you can't have your
I don't even know when
that,
it started.
They get tested for like being super smart or some shit like that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
These are things we figured out. Well,
I was never in danger of that as a child.
Yeah, no, definitely not. Same here. But that's you bring that up, and it's really funny because I noticed that at build meets. People bring their tools, it's in the same spot every time they have their, you know, the nippers on their left or right and their files and all. And I do the same too. I always use my nippers and I put them up to the right because I accidentally poked myself one time with them. I'm like, okay, you go over there now. And it worked. It worked really, it worked
over
really
there.
Well.
Stay over there.
Yeah. Like you
don't you poke me again.
Don't poke me again. But having that routine
bad nippers
is a really good thing because like you're doing, Tina, you can work anywhere you need to work.
Yep.
And I think that's such a big thing to people to get into having a routine, into making time for stuff like the hobby stuff so it doesn't seem like a job. That's the big thing issue I had with is when I moved and stuff, and we talked about this I talked about it in the vlog, is having a routine is critical.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, people are like, okay, you get burned out. Oh, you lost your inspiration. You lost your passion for the hobby. You didn't. Your routine changed. I can guarantee you 99% of the reason you get burnt out is because something in your life changed.
Yep.
It's not because you don't like the hobby. It's not because you think Gundam's stupid or whatever. It's because something major in your life changed.
Mm-hmm. It can be something completely unrelated to the hobby. And in fact, in most cases, it is. See, so for me, I get most of my best work done either in the morning before work because I'm not tired. You know, my brain still functions. I can actually make creative decisions before work.
Mm-hmm.
Or like on Saturday afternoon because it's a non-distracting time.
Mm-hmm.
Like
a nice cup of coffee.
Yeah. Oh, or two or six. It doesn't matter. What's important
gotta
is
gotta get
like,
the juices flowing.
Right. But that's all. It's all in that routine. Like you find a time whenever your brain's going to work, and your brain expects to work. Whenever you put your brain in the same situation time and time again, it's going to perform similarly.
Yeah.
You ever hear that old story about how like if you study in an altered brain state, you should take the test in the same brain state?
Yeah,
yeah, dude.
Yeah.
It's kind of a conditioning that you've had.
So study drunk, test drunk was absolutely my strategy in grad school.
It's called I'm ready to take this test. What's a bone? Where's those things located?
That's a good question. I took my anatomy class in undergrad, so I have no clue.
Is there a bone in there? Because it has the word bone in it. I don't understand. What is it? There's blood?
Ladies and
that's
gentlemen,
not a boner.
We have Bobcat Goldthwait on the show today.
Define engorged.
But you define engorged.
What are you talking about?
Jeopardy now?
All right.
What is engorged?
It snuck up on me, man.
All right. Woo! Holy shit.
But this is a routine. We're in a podcast routine. You can't stop it.
Enough about weird penile weird situation.
I never said that.
You, that's where my brain went
to. That
was
you. That was your brain.
You said Saturday morning fucking quick. Well, why is it Saturday?
Saturday afternoons, you said.
Well, or Saturday afternoons, yeah. You said that so fast.
Or the morning.
You didn't say the weekend. You didn't say, eh.
No, dude, it's specifically Saturday. Because, like, on Sunday, you got other stuff going on. Like, you know, it's there's different stuff in my routine on Sundays.
Yeah.
I'm just used to doing this. And the thing is, there are some weeks.
Because
whenever I'm doing something,
you're fitting this into your larger schedule, like your larger routine. Right.
Right. It's if it's something important to you, you make time for it, right? Mm-hmm. You prioritize your hobbies because your hobby gives you some tangible benefit in your life. It's relaxing. It's de-stressing. It helps you build your creative. Sometimes you make money from it.
There you go.
Joel's over here making it rain. God, there's so many pennies.
That's literally about how much you get from the stuff. It's just pennies, and you got to give them to the government.
And it like goes back to the like, why do we even do hobbies? What is a hobby freaking for? It's just it's for your own enjoyment. But you're gonna prioritize it if it's important for you.
Yeah.
There are no like, there's no such thing as not having time for something. Like you have time for whatever you prioritize.
Yeah, you make time.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you. That's the thing. You make time.
So the weirdest thing that I noticed with doing this hobby to a point to where income is involved in it, that does happen sometimes, is that you kind of set that routine. Like you snap said Saturday. Saturday mornings, I'm doing the fucking thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can almost apply the 9-to-5 mentality to what you do to relax. Because you kind of can schedule it and don't have to stress out about it. And that's usually when you have that routine, you're subconsciously doing that.
But see, that's the thing. Like, that's why work is like 9-to-5. It's because every day you know that you're going to be at this place doing this thing. Mm-hmm. You know, not every job is like that, but every job has some kind of schedule.
Well, yeah, it'd be chaos if you didn't. Even if you work, if you're your own boss, you have a schedule.
Yeah.
Otherwise, how do you get anything done?
Yeah.
You got to get up. You got to make phone calls. You got to check emails.
It's just good it's good for your brain. The human brain needs some kind of structure to de-stress. Otherwise, you end up with this like high anxiety, chaotic state, which is something that I just made up. And I shouldn't even be talking about this because Bailey's literally a professor of this. He's a professor of brains. No, hey, Bailey, why don't you take it away?
Well, we like routines. Humans like routines. You know, that like you said, it's anxiety reducing. You know, I don't want to go to Freud. I mean, you know, people don't like to talk about Freud.
Dude, Bailey, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar.
I can agree with that.
Sometimes it's a dick.
Not according to Freud.
Sometimes.
Fine engorged.
Sometimes.
It's
big old engorged cigar.
It's a gorged cigarette. That's a cigar.
I don't know. That's how they make them.
But yeah, you know, the idea of reducing anxiety is, you know, what routines come into, because having that expectation of what's going to happen, you know, certainly the person that goes to a 9-to-5 job and they are, you know, they're showing up at work, they have a schema for what to expect, you know, they say hi to their coworkers, whatever, they get to their desk, they have an expectation of what task they have to perform, all of that stuff, though it may seem, mundane, that also is quite relaxing to a large number of people.
Well, I was going to say, Tino's shaking his head no. Why are you shaking your head now?
Because I don't like thinking about it. That's exactly what I do. I get to work. I say hello to Mel. Right. I sit down. I start up my computer.
But you're not thinking about it.
I know what's waiting for me.
Oh, no.
We all have. I mean, you work in an office. You guys work in professional settings. I work in a sense, a self-run company.
Oh, here's the joke. I work at home.
And you work. I mean, but you have a routine. You have an expectation of what you're doing.
Let's go with that. I have a routine.
It's different for everyone, but... I used to work from home as well doing stuff, but I had a schedule, had a routine. I would come on, I would go into the group chat, say hello to everybody, and do
so
the same thing.
So many late night streams.
But so many late night streams. I miss that so much, but I fucking hate doing IT work, regardless. Not talking about that.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
But I just got worked up thinking about all the other bullshit I had to endure with having that routine.
Yeah.
The thing is your routine... And what you're doing, regardless of the location, helps with that anxiety.
Yeah, okay. So on that, let's break those apart. Let's tease that apart. I'm only talking about the routine itself, in that you know what to expect.
Oh, yeah.
The job, or, you know, the actual task that you're doing, yeah, that can be unpleasant, and you can have your negative emotions linked to
that. That's
going to
happen anyway.
But in terms of our hobby, and in terms of what we do that we love, or certainly if we, you know, get to be one of the people that we work doing, you know, we enjoy what we do, the routine is still a component that reduces anxiety within that context. So you can enjoy what you're doing or not enjoy, but the routine aspect of it is better than just chaos every day.
It keeps you in that constant state. Yeah, and that's exactly, to go that's back to what Scott Miniac said in his video, is that you don't get burnt out, you don't lose creativity, you don't lose inspiration, you lose your routine, because when you have that set schedule, whether it's, you know, how you lay your pencil down or how you go into work and say hello to someone, you have that mindset that allows you to function, to do what you do.
Yeah.
And I remember when I got in the car accident, my routine was fucked up, and I got fucked up from building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do it. It sucked. It was weird.
When you're in a state of high anxiety, you don't necessarily want to do anything creative. Anxiety is like a survival reflex.
It's a cognitive load on your brain that...
You're flooded with so many, like, brain hormones that screw up all your thinking thoughts. Thought thinking, is that a technical term?
Thought thinking?
We'll go with that, yeah.
All right, sounds good.
That stuff that goes thunk in your skull.
Yeah, all the skull thunking stops.
You might
want to
check that out.
Tino, you brought up something. You said you go into work and you say hello to someone, right?
Yeah.
Now, say tomorrow you go into work and they call a meeting.
Ew.
Oh, no, that already happened. Uh-oh. That happened.
You get that, but you get that anxiety.
Yeah.
It's not your routine.
Yeah.
This isn't normal. What's happening? Like, this is something, you know, I don't know how to respond to the situation because it's not part of your, you don't have a schema. Like,
part of your brain is getting occupied thinking about what's going to happen.
It's like
you may even have a sense of what the meeting is about, but now you're, you know, like we talk about, your gears are turning in your head.
You're thinking of, is this bad? Is it good? What's going to happen?
And as an artist,
like
now you don't have that capacity that you can allocate towards thinking about ideas or thinking about projects, you know, because that is getting rerouted to thinking about what this fucking meeting coming, you know, is going to be about, you know?
Now, the examples we're talking about are obviously more worlds. Skills, more bigger picture oriented.
Broader,
but to bring it back to the hobby is when you don't have a routine, you have a chaos of a building area, you don't have where I know where this goes, I know where that goes. Your building is sporadic and you're not going to really fully enjoy it because you're not in this routine of creativity. It's where you're allowing your brain to be creative.
Yeah. And this isn't, we're going to do a separate episode about the Gunpla and mental health, but we keep touching on anxiety in this episode because the chaos of not having a routine and the chaos of a cluttered workspace causes that anxiety, which then decreases your ability to, like, you
function.
Know, to function at the level of Gunpla that you think that you should be able to or that you have been able to in the past. So clean, organized workspaces. Yes, they're functional. They make sure that you have every tool you need quickly. You can get more done in a shorter amount of time, but when you don't have to worry about, like, poking yourself on the X-Acto knife that's buried in, you know, three layers deep of sandpaper.
In your junk drawer.
Right,
or
in your junk drawer as you reach in to grab your, like, label maker or whatever. That happened to me yesterday, actually.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, why is the tool you use a lot
right.
in the junk drawer? Because you fell into a routine of putting in the junk drawer and just you grab it from there.
You may know where it is. That's the thing. Like, if it works for you, it works for you. Like, I might have a completely cluttered workbench. Not organized, but I know where everything is. It's like as I put things down, I alphabetize them in my head, like, oh, okay, I know where that sprue is. It's underneath these five other sprues. Like, why did I put them there? It doesn't make any sense. It's not efficient. But brains are weird like that.
You see that a lot. I see it a lot with painters and even scale model builders on Instagram and other social media platforms. They'll take a picture of like a work in progress or something, and it's this insanely cluttered desk. Any picture you go of mine, it's going to be a cluttered desk if there's a work in progress. And then we all fall into the trap. I'm the way where my routine is when I'm done building, I clean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's.
I grew up with my, yeah. you know, in a house or in the South of clean up your shit when you're done using it.
Clean up,
it.
Yeah.
Yep, that's good.
But in the same time, well, like when I first got all the Hobby Zone shit and set that up and posted like, oh, a new desk, everything's, oh, it's so organized. I'm like, it's not. Because I don't know where everything is yet because this is new to me.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I haven't set a routine. It's not organized. It's clean.
Right.
But it's
right.
not effective.
That's the thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you can have clean and have it just be total chaos in your mind, mm-hmm. but to the public, it's like, oh, that's very well organized, blah, blah, blah. But when I see someone posting a shot of their desk and it's all messy and chaotic, I notice patterns. There's lumps of tools in certain spots and all that. Yeah. And I can tell that person knows exactly what the fuck they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
And it goes, whatever that we, I don't know if it's an actual saying or not, but it's usually the people with the most, you know, messy, chaotic desk are like the most creative
we've
or some
shit. We've mentioned that already, right?
Yeah, I think we talked about that before. Yeah.
My desk is only messy because I'm lazy. That's a separate issue.
that's a different podcast.
I've also started
lazy.
I've started putting away projects I'm not working on because I have like six to ten
same.
Projects going at any time because, again, lazy. Can't finish anything. We might do a separate
building, or scale model
still,
building.
Sure, keep thinking of new ideas
but like,
and shit. And jump
we could probably do a separate podcast about like why can't artists finish anything? There's actual like scientific reasons why artists never consider projects to be finished.
I agree. Structure of the mind.
It's interesting. but the thing is, a functional workspace is the goal.
Yeah.
And so I put away the projects I'm not working on because whenever I look at them, it causes me anxiety.
Yeah.
It's like, this is something that I need to do. Oh, no. It's like I got 10 other projects going on.
You put them in a drawer with everything else.
I sequester them like in shoe boxes. Yeah. I put them on my shelf. I organize them all so I know where they are so I can pick them up if I need to, need to pick them back up. But I can't have those on my workbench while I'm working. And if you've seen my Instagram recently, I have had those projects on my workbench, and I've hated it.
Yeah.
Like, I even know, man, I got to put this away, but I'm, like I said, so damn lazy. I never did put it away. Every time I look at those things, it's like...
I don't have like, a display area for my finished ones, but those are the ones I've left out.
Yeah, exactly.
More recently.
It's
and
motivation.
Also kind of a bit of motivation. Like, oh, yeah, I did that.
I did that.
I can do stuff.
Yeah.
Right. You know?
Yeah.
Otherwise, there is kind of like a cascading order of things, and like... we talk about backlogs and everything, but it's like the stuff with the way bottom, those aren't getting,
those aren't getting done.
But then, like, even on the same cart, the utility cart, I have the two other builds that I might get around to soon. They're there. They're in the box, but those are the ones, if I want to take a break from what I'm doing now, those are the ones I'll grab.
Oh, yeah.
And get to them. And then it's like, order of importance.
Those are your on-deck projects.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, I've got all these organizational systems, but I have a stack of shit under my desk. That's what I'm working
on. Yeah.
Because my foot's going to hit. I'm like, oh, shit. I forgot about the project.
I need to work on that.
Whatever
the
case is.
If you get a deadline, maybe that works. Yeah. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Well, kind of, I want to go back to what Tina was talking about a couple of minutes ago with having his portable workstation.
Oh, yes.
And having that almost in a sense, because you do a lot of comic and actual comic stuff that involves like writing and all that, is that you are able to make your routine and make your workstation anywhere you need to go.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing I always hear from like newer people getting into the hobby is like, oh, I wish I had a build desk. I wish I had a workstation. I wish I had a hobby room. You don't need that because all of us started either building on the kitchen table or like a TV dinner tray on the couch
or just on the floor.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But it's knowing where your tools go and having that definition, having that strategy in there.
Yeah.
And Brandon, you told me about, it was the writing strategy.
Right. Okay.
That's kind of like what Tina was saying. You have almost like a ritual.
Right. Right.
Nothing,
yes.
I saw this like really stupid meme.
There's a fine line between routines and rituals. That's the thing. Rituals exist because it's healthy. It's healthy. It helps like soothe the human brain to
anxiety
have like
reducing,
but rituals are like mini routines.
Right. So famous author Maya Angelou. Maybe you've heard of her. When she writes, this is very interesting. Maya Angelou does not write at home. She's never been able to write at home, according to her own report. Yeah, weird, huh?
What the fuck?
I know, but that's the thing. World-class writer always wrote in hotel rooms.
Mm.
Yeah, So she would keep she would keep a hotel room, like, on a monthly reserve in whatever city she happened to be in at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And she would always go into that hotel room, remove all the art from the walls of the hotel room.
What the fuck?
And she would lay on the comforter on the bed,
mm-hmm.
resting on her right elbow every time. She said that she had even the same writing posture every time she wanted to write. Shows up at the hotel room at like 6:30 to 7 a.m. At like 11 a.m., she'd have a sherry.
Mm.
She's been writing this entire time. Finishes writing at like 1 to 2 p.m., and then she goes home and has dinner, proofreads at 5 p.m. Mm-hmm. every day.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck? Now, is that borderlining on a routine or a ritual?
So that's, that sounds like ritual.
For sure.
But this is the thing. Look at what she was able to achieve.
Yeah, because on one hand, it sounds like, you know, what do you call
them? Sounds like a superstition.
Well, it sounds like super fans for teams and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But this actually makes a difference. You know,
well, she's removed.
She's producing stuff.
She has no distractions in that hotel room, even art. She's basically, the only things that she would take with her would be inspiration pieces. So she goes into the hotel room, she removes all the art. She brings a very specific, an author that she likes, something that she wants to read just to get her creative juices flowing, and then she'll just write. All she does is write. So maybe your hobby shouldn't be that extreme unless you're into that. But it's an interesting example of how you can, it doesn't matter where you are as long as that's your hobby time.
Well,
make hobby time.
If we can consider that like pinnacle routine bordering on ritual.
Like that's some top tier shit.
Well, I mean,
that's over the border
anywhere,
of ritual.
I think
though.
It is.
Anywhere slightly before that might be something that, you know, like we talked about.
You can apply to it.
Having a time frame that works best for you. There's a there's a book a good friend of mine always brings up, Rework. I don't remember the author's name, but there is, it's referring to productivity.
Okay.
Having thinking about a 9-to-5 job, or actually it deals also with, tech workers and startups and things like that. So you might be 9-to-5, or it could just be whatever time you're working. But the idea is you have this range, and it actually lines up with optimal states of arousal, because there will be a time where you get your best work done, and like you kind of reminded me of that, Brandon, we talked about
like morning
person,
afternoon
exactly,
person, yeah,
exactly, is like you have this kind of peak productivity time,
yeah,
but the other side of that is you have to know when to call it. You have to know when to like taper off.
Productivity will drop to the point where you're,
there will be diminishing returns after a certain point.
You can deduct productivity in a sense.
That can happen in Gunpla too, you know.
You can overwork yourself.
Yeah, well, you can overwork, or you could just find yourself just constantly messing up or whatever. It happens, and you know, I think we talked about this already. Know when to take that moment and step back.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we talked about this in the failure episode. That's very important. Mm-hmm. Identify when you're not able to do what you want to do.
But it definitely ties into the idea of having a routine and having this kind of organization pattern that is tied to when you feel yourself being the most productive.
I've been watching a lot of, I forget the name of the YouTuber, but he does like a day in the life of an office worker in Japan.
Oh, dude, I love that.
Paolo from Tokyo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
he started
biggest,
popping up on my feed.
Dude, that is such a good series.
With,
yeah. That's
the
a really
biggest
good one.
Thing Japan. I Japan. In that is Japan's work culture of sometimes it's less salaryman, and then the lesser, like 32-hour work weeks.
Oh,
For some companies. And it's a big thing in European countries too, where they have.
They have break times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In
siestas.
That's something that when... Siesta. See, I would love a fucking
nap. Sounds nice.
In the day
for
real. But
let's pause the podcast, take a nap.
And come back to it.
We'll record the entire thing. You guys are going to have to
listen
to this for 3 hours. But
but I kind of noticed that when I was getting into like... doing routines and working a lot of hours of doing a 9-to-5 and then coming home and trying to, in a sense, do another 9-to-5 for hobby stuff. And I found myself, like you were saying, kind of negative subtracting of my productivity.
Yeah.
I can sit in front of the computer for 5 or 6 hours at home and not do anything.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or I can come home, you know, do chores, eat, you know, go out, come back, and then in 2 hours get a fuck ton of work done.
Oh, yeah,
that's right.
Because that's where my prime productivity time is.
Brains need to recharge. You can't brain constantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's the biggest thing is, and I would say a lot of us, I mean, because it is a, you know, it's a nerd hobby.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of us do work IT jobs and shit like that, and it's staring at a screen for 9 hours or 8 hours a day and then coming home and staring at another screen for nine right, hours a day. And then you think, like, it's a big thing, too, in video games.
And then staring at something right here.
staring at a model kit really fucking close.
But at least you get to build it. It's like you're doing hands-on. It's at least using different neural pathways, but
something,
it's still...
Something that only uses, like, the minimal amount of numbers.
Exactly.
Oh, God. Imagine if... Well, I know, you know, there's people that build computer models and stuff, but...
Oh, yeah.
Imagine if you had to build a Gunpla...
Dude, that'd be awesome.
Like... With using the same finger positions as using a keyboard or mouse. That'd be like, fuck this. I'm done with this hobby.
But the cool thing is...
Wait, you just gave Tino carpal tunnel.
Yeah.
He's like, I feel it.
Oh, God. Like, I got to use my nippers.
More
Bengay! WASD, your nippers. Like, fuck this.
Is there a cheat code for this? Call G4.
But I think it comes down to, like, I can grab a new builder, right? And I can give them a $500 gift card to Hobby Zone, and they'll buy the most elaborate hobby desk ever made with, like, a fucking arc lights. You've seen those? The arc lights for miniature painting?
Yeah.
It's completely, there's no shadow or anything.
Yeah.
I kind of fucking want
I didn't know that was a thing, but okay.
Regardless, you can give them a multi-$1,000 setup, and they'll still just be like, I don't know. I guess this is cool because they don't have a routine. They haven't done enough to where they can explore it and figure out where shit needs to go and what does what. And you give that person a month at that desk, they'll be.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. No, well, but the thing is, they've got to, they got to survive them. That month though.
Yeah. That's the thing.
They might not make it through.
And that's when we have the new people come into the hobby. They get to that. I fucking love, they get the bug. They get everything they need. They do the YouTube research. They go to the hobby store. They talk to people. They get everything
they want. The
honeymoon. Yeah, the honeymoon.
They listen to the Cutting Mat podcast.
They listen to the podcast, and they avoid falling into the trap we're going to talk about. And they either make a routine, or they find a routine, or they don't, and they get super bummed, and they talk shit about the hobby, and they're like, and they sell other shit, and then they're done. It happens with Warhammer, it happens with PC game, it happens with any hobby that you have to set time aside to do for.
I just need you to know, I got so angry at this hypothetical rookie that you just described.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So mad.
Because I'm the thing is, it's nothing to do with her if they like it or not.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because honestly, if you don't like it, you're not going to get to that part where you caught the bug.
Mm-hmm,
you're not going to like something and not catch the bug. I just watched a video where it's some Australian vlogger or whatever, and he pretty much buys stuff that people tell him to buy to try it out.
Huh.
And someone said Warhammer.
Mm-hmm.
And... it started off with him hating the hobby, making fun of it. You know, nerds, I'm going to grow a neck beard when I walk into Games Workshop.
Mm-hmm.
He bought a $275 Games Workshop model, paints and everything.
Whoa.
He caught the bug the research.
So he bought like two 28mm figures.
Yeah, well, yeah, pretty much. That's $275.
God.
No, it was just one Tau, like, just one Tau mech dude. It was
those Tau mechs are massive. That's a...
Yeah.
And so he caught the bug. And then, obviously, he didn't have a routine or anything because it was the first time doing it. And he fucked up, and he ranted about it, and he hated it, and all this other shit. And you think you'd be done after that. And he's like, well, no, I might get another one.
Mm-hmm.
Might get another or some shit. I don't know. I got pissed off halfway through the video. Like,
he still loves it, right? So
but
he's got a hobby that's making him angry because he's not able to do it the way he wants to, but he still loves it. Like, it always goes back to that question I asked at the beginning, which is, like, why would we do a hobby that is sometimes stressful? Yeah. This is a hobby that, like, requires thought. Like, it requires physical exertion.
Don't like it, you're not going to do the research of all the shit you need to buy and get involved with this, that, and the other thing.
I mean, that's the part, though. Games can be stressful.
Yeah, dude.
But you sure as hell still play them, right?
Still play them. You still play them. And I do that.
Yeah. You just have to catch that eye of the tiger. You have to catch the thrill of the fight, right? You have to rise up to the challenge of your rivals, right?
Wait, what?
And
Pokemon?
What?
We already defeated Brock.
what is this?
Beyblades.
Yeah.
That was the Beyblades theme song, in case you weren't paying any attention to that.
But, I mean, yeah, long story short is that new builders, they get the train's off the tracks, bud. The new builders and people get into the hobby, they get to that point to where it's, if they don't have that routine, they're going to get burnt out. And the first thing you think about when you get burnt out is like, I just don't like it anymore.
Yep.
You don't think to say, well, maybe I'm not doing it when I should be doing it. I'm forcing myself to do it because I think I should be doing it.
But like, that's a weird feeling. I've felt that before. Yeah. You still love the thing, but you don't want to do it.
Here's the thing that ties back to discussions we've had before. There's also an aspect of like people that you speak to, you know, like other people that have done it.
Who you surround yourself with.
Yeah, and yep. Like, you know, how helpful or supportive those other individuals can be in order to enhance your own experience. Because, I mean, when it comes down to it, this can be a very... you know, antisocial is not the right phrase, but this can be a very individual thing, or it could be a very social experience. Yeah, exactly. Right. You know, certainly as we've talked about,
there's
it is for us.
People that I've seen at IPMS and GBWC that don't have social media accounts besides their own personal Facebook because it's a personal thing to them. Mm-hmm.
Dude, that was me. That was me when you met me. Like that first time we went
just
to.
Like, what the fuck are you, bud?
I had mechagenre.com, but I didn't like. Advertise.
You didn't
I
have just, a shirt of it like you're wearing.
No, I didn't
right
have it. I'm wearing I'm wearing my own t-shirt now. That's a weird. Yeah. So mechagenre.com was like my own personal hobby thing. I was doing that for myself. I didn't care if anybody else saw it. I'm still doing it for myself. Like, I don't care if any of you go to mechagenre.com. Also, check it out. It's really cool. But
t-shirts coming soon.
Separate hobby. Yeah. You know, that's the thing. If you care about something, you make time for it. It's all part of prioritization. If you haven't thought about this before, if you're new to the hobby, or if you're starting to feel like you're getting burned out, or if you feel like you never have time to do this, just think about your routine. Maybe you don't have a routine. Maybe you don't think about your hobby as something that you need to have a routine for. Just kind of, you can change the way that you think about it and find that you actually have a lot more, you could do a lot more with this thing.
You can always do more with the hobby. I'm a very big believer of that. It doesn't need to be just sitting at home building because that's how I started.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I learned, you know, watching Zach and Justin's videos, and I was like, that looks fun. I want to do that. Yep. I want to have like a scale modeling page and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people will get, again, they get the bug, they get to that point, and they'll either... You'll see it too. I see it when people like follow and they're super active for like a month and then it's just vanished.
Yep.
Just vanished because they burnt themselves out with not having a routine, probably didn't have any type of organization or anything else going on, and they just, I'll try RC cars or something. They just move on to the next thing. I call them the tech dads.
Oh, yeah, that's a pretty good description.
Because they buy the latest and greatest $1,000 camera.
The Weekend Warriors.
Yeah, and it's still very blurry, and then they just sell it and get the drone or something.
Oh, sure.
They get whatever hot tech they want to play with for a week, and then, hey, if that makes you happy, keep doing it.
But you zoom out, who cares? Like, if it makes you happy, you can do whatever you want. Like, if that's how you want to enjoy the hobby, that's totally fine. Honestly, there is no wrong way to enjoy any hobby, as long as you're having a good time.
Exactly.
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
Right. What do you think, Tino? I got a question for you.
Tino, you haven't said much in a little bit.
Have you ever been in a situation where you cannot work because your workbench is so cluttered?
Yeah. That was my old desk that I had down in Sanford constantly.
Yeah.
That was last week at Biltmore.
Yeah, that too?
Were you trying to build at Biltmore, Bailey?
I'm sorry. What? It sounded like a Biltmore commercial. So I was like,
well, it was last week at Biltmore when Tino's desk was too cluttered to build, and Bailey's initial D
there.
Was
shit. Film that one.
I had a big desk, like a big desk, longer, a bit longer than this table, and it had like two drawers.
What are you talking about? We're in a professional studio.
Yeah, we're in Los Angeles.
Our castle made of runners.
Your table, the table, of course,
shit,
approximately
give me a couple months, we'll
20
have
feet long.
Yeah.
Solid gold inlay.
I would somehow find ways to build on it, but most of the time it was covered in stuff that wasn't build material.
It doesn't work. You don't have enough room to put a kit down. Like, it's not gonna work. Like, I like to lay out all my parts before I build something.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's your routine. I jigsaw my runners. When I have enough room.
You're a monster.
Yeah, I like to lay them out like that, and that monster. Way I know where my bits are.
That's fair.
I lay them out like a comic book long box, just vertical, and just kind of flip through them.
Yep. Nope, yeah, that one, yeah, yeah. I do that in the box. Yeah.
I don't have that. Or you use the box.
I use the box, yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, yeah.
I do the same thing.
I'm doing the perfect grade Gundam right now. And you have to do that.
Runners.
Damn.
Good
and
God,
you got
man.
Screws on that thing, too. You got screws and you
at
got
at that
the,
point, you could use an actual comic long box and probably fill it out with runners and shit in that.
I put the screw bags in bags.
Yo, yeah, that's good.
That's
yeah, yeah.
Because they're color-coded, but the moment you open those bags, you know they're going to fall out.
That's correct. Yo, dog.
Those bags in bags.
Yo, dog, I heard you like bags, so I put your bags in some bags so that you can bag while you bag.
Yeah, put that one in a big bag.
Yeah, let's bag that.
Let's protect
let's bag.
You got to
put the bag in a bag.
Everything.
You put a bag in that bag, and then that bag goes into another bag.
And then you ziplock it.
Don't do that because it creates friction.
Triple bag it.
Triple bag.
Yes.
So,
engorged.
Long story short, is before this gets engorged and just way too hard, and I don't think he really lasts all night doing this podcast. I don't know.
It's already been 4 hours. Contact a doctor.
Contact a doctor. Fuck's sakes. All right. But long story short, get a routine.
Yeah.
Whether it's something simple as having a backpack full of stuff and putting your pencil to the right of you, to having a set schedule of when you build and when you do video games and whatever the case is.
I function out of my toolbox. I didn't think I was going to do that at home, but it works. It's just there, and I put my tools back in that box. And,
you have it.
I move in and
you
out.
You know where
that.
They are. Yeah,
exactly.
As long as you're using first order retrieval principles, you can get any tool out of that toolbox as quickly as you could off of your workbench. On the other hand, I cannot do that. I tried. I tried to work out of my toolbox, but I physically cannot. And I don't know why.
Weird.
Like, I can't figure it out. I even have my toolbox open on one of those utility carts next to my workbench because I have tools in my toolbox.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the easiest way to first order retrieval them, you know.
But I had that issue with the build meets.
Yeah, yeah. When I'm at a build meet, like, I don't really get anything done. I don't even try.
The
best.
Yeah.
That's
build
different.
A foot and
that's
then start
talking shop and
for
all
me,
the other stuff.
I can sit down and, like, actually focus on a build, but I don't get stuff done because I, like, forgot a tool. It's not a part of my routine. You know
the best thing for that, and this is something that I'm actually trying. I bought one of those, like, weird Japanese wave hobby box organizer things.
Yeah.
Because the toolbox that I had, I didn't like the layout of it. It felt weird and clunky and all that. And I wanted to try this when it comes in. I want to try and go to a build meet and just build and see if I like it and have that.
You don't
have
the one that has like the build deck on it?
Not that one, but the storage one that's cheaper than that. That one's like $70.
Does it have but you're talking about the one you could put the actual like cement bottle in it?
Yeah,
I know
corner.
What you're talking about.
The red, black, blue one?
Yeah,
really?
Whichever.
That's awesome.
I know you can put the bottle in and
you
expect
can't.
It to not
yeah,
tip over
but
and
you
that
have
shit.
To lay it down.
Yeah.
I got one of those because I miss when I first started going to the Hangar Team Mints where I was building.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I always tell myself I'm gonna go and build. But the moment I start packing that toolbox, I'm like, I fucking hate this toolbox.
Mine's an old tackle box. Like I'm using a tackle box as a toolbox, which is fine because the tools are fairly small, but I can't fit that much
in
there.
You have to think about what works for you.
Yeah. Well, and I'm not going to do advanced. This is the other thing. I'm not going to do advanced techniques there.
Like, no.
If me
either. I'm going to build.
I need
I'll snap something. Unless we're doing a workshop, but that's a different layout, a different routine.
Lights.
Yeah, I need my lights.
Visor with my light on it.
And I need
my auto lights. I need,
another.
Look at everybody.
But see, that's another part of it. I need my media. I want to listen to what I want to listen to while I'm doing scribing. I need to listen to this music. I need to listen to this podcast. Yeah.
I have two modes. It's really weird, and I know Rachel can tell what mood I'm in when I'm building. One, I'll be listening to like ignorant underground rap and trap and all this other shit. Like it'll be fucking Gucci Mane and Shoreline Mafia blasting through the house, and all the lights are on and everything, and it smells of stuff. And then the second
mood is plastic.
She comes in, and then all like the fire lights are on, everything's red, and there's Finnish black metal just fucking blaring, and I'm just sitting there like painting something snow.
That's
and
when the action's
like,
happening.
Two lights, then that's it. She's like, ah, you're painting something.
That's the magic.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And when I stream, everyone has to suffer and listen to Finnish black metal with me because that's why I haven't done a lot of streaming stuff because it had a routine and I changed it because I found a routine that worked better personally. Mm-hmm. But now I got to think of a routine
that
I can share with
that's
everyone.
Twitch streaming.
And it's one of those things where, like, I kind of treat the streams as workshops.
I think it's super hard. Yeah. It's hard to, like, get stuff done
Q&A.
On a stream.
It really is a Q&A because the workshop mentality I have where I take that toolbox that I hate so much and it's a different toolbox because I have, okay, this is demonstration stuff. This is stuff I'm going to use. This is public. People can touch and feel and all that. Mm-hmm. And when I plan for a stream, I have that same mentality of, okay, this is the demo piece. This is the final piece. I'm going to talk about this, that, and the other thing. It's a different mindset. I also build with no pants. I wear boxers and that's it. So
people don't
want to see my fat ass just naked painting something like
that. I don't think pants like work with this hobby.
They don't.
They really don't.
They don't.
I don't think pants work with life in
general. I have to agree with that. Yes, I completely agree. It's
life,
part of the routine.
Yeah.
I have
the creation of
the streaming routine I have is the workshop routine, which when I go do a workshop, I'm fully clothed. So there's no cameras on me at all when I stream, but I am fully clothed because that's the mentality and
it's
the routine that I'm in.
But it changes, changes the way you talk. Like, it changes the way you think.
The moment I turn that street off, fucking pants are off, shirts are off, and I'm fucking playing a Halo or some shit, yelling at kids online.
Yeah. See, that, and I think Brandon can agree with me, that's the hurdle for saying that, I'm going to do streaming. Because every time I think about it, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to get actual work done, you know, like actual, like,
I want to build my thing. Like,
yeah,
I got work to do. I don't want people to look over my shoulder. That's weird. Like, what if I make a mistake?
I've done some work on it, but like when I think about, like, this is something that I really want to focus on and like get it, it's like, oh, I can't do this.
If you consider consider routine,
and sometimes that's some of your best work.
Yeah, well,
sometimes, but sometimes it's not
your best work.
Like if streaming is anxiety producing for you, if you get anxiety from streaming, some people do, some people don't. Some people actually gain energy from streaming.
Tim,
that's true. Yeah.
Tim literally gets more powerful when he streams.
He becomes more powerful than you could ever
Super
imagine.
Super Saiyan. Yeah.
So Super Saiyan 3 Tim like is over there building like. Custom.
Okay, I'm sorry. The episode name, the album art is going to be Child Mecha, Tim Harkins himself
with
as like Goku
hair.
Or some shit with like nippers and like a camera over his head or some shit.
I feel like
that's the album art. I'm sorry, Tim. This is how it's happening.
I don't think. I'm not sure you need to apologize. I feel like he's going to thank us for that. So, but he's like building this custom stuff on this Zaku shield, and I'm so impressed because it's stuff that I couldn't do when people weren't watching me.
Yeah.
But then here I am. Like if somebody's watching me work, I'm getting anxiety, which makes me less creative, which means that I can't get shit done. It's like,
I think,
you know,
that's where there's a lot more YouTubers than they are streamers.
Everybody's different. Well, yeah, sure, yeah. Because you record, you pre-record,
you're
it,
talking
and,
about the
and
pre-recorded
you edit it.
Stuff.
Yeah, you sit there, you set a camera up, and you just you don't talk to it
because you're
just
editing.
You work.
Yeah. You're editing afterwards.
Then you go back and say,
if
do
there's
a
something crappy
something.
There,
sure.
Yeah,
you can
especially
cut it out.
The especially the Japanese and the Korean
builders. That's a big thing with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's all about routine. It's
but
all
also,
about finding
my workbench is a wreck. Also, that's the other thing. Where you get a workbench, it's a wreck.
It's an organized wreck.
Well, that's
you
a,
know
yeah.
where everything is.
It's clean. It's sometimes it's organized. I mean, you know where everything is. Sure, if it's not like fully ergonomic, I think.
Well, that's the balance. You
that's
mentioned
balance
it's
it,
clean,
man.
But you don't
that's
know
right.
where shit is.
Yep, that's right.
Versus yeah. it's a hot mess, but you know
you can
you
have
know where
organized shit, but you can't have. Or you can have organized chaos, but you can't just have chaos.
Yeah, you can't just be chaos. Mm-hmm. But some people have
you
different
just
levels.
Be chaos,
you got different levels of organization. You got different levels of cleanliness in your workbench. I recommend that everybody listen to this podcast. Sorry. Just like
organized
take a moment
or clean confusion.
But like, take a moment and think about what do you do? What is your like? What's your style on your workbench and on your routine? Are you like an organized chaos kind of person? Do you like a lot of structure? Do you want to make sure that all your tools are in the same place every freaking time that you clean up your, you know, like Tino, for example. Make sure all his tools are in the
so
same
you're
place.
You're shaking your head.
He's over here nodding his head,
I need it all in the right place.
Everybody's different, but if
everything
you can be self-aware.
In its place.
Yeah, but, it, you know, sure.
Radiohead.
There you go.
Yeah, woo!
Yeah. Be cognizant of.
Be what?
Be cognizant. I'm using.
What'd you call me?
I called you a cognizant.
Okay. Well,
A, be cognizant. Always A. be cognizant.
Always be A, B, C.
Always
be
cognizant.
This is derailing
always
real fast.
Be cool. Always.
That is good, isn't it?
That's, yeah. That's
do it badly and always be cognizant.
That's a good. Dang, mm-hmm. That's really good. That's yep. really good.
Just do it badly, though.
Hey, that somehow we found the best catchphrase of everything yeah. comes back to doing it bad. Because guess what? Back to the food truck is everyone.
Nope. No, no.
But for real, like
it's like a hamburger.
To find out your routine, it's like a hamburger, right? You don't know how good the hamburger.
It might be overdone. You don't know. Until
all right, folks. Until Riker shows up. Podcast.
And the real shit is that you have to do your routine daily to figure it out. You have to figure out what works for you, and you have to fucking just do it.
It's
going to
take a little while.
It's going to take a while, but don't feel discouraged. If you get burnt out, don't have that immediate thought of like, it's the fucking hobby. This hobby's stupid. It's not. Get into a routine that might allow you to enjoy it more. If you're trying to do this hobby on a train and, you know, or driving to your way to work, you may not have fun at it.
That is something that
routine.
I have heard of someone doing before.
Oh,
just building
car building
car.
Is a huge... Yeah. Doug, one of the founders of the GBA,
impressive.
On his lunch break, he builds in his car.
Cool.
And he has, again,
cool.
he has a routine. Yep. He knows where stuff needs to go, and he enjoys it.
You can build anywhere, though. That just proves you can build anywhere as long as you...
The big thing is enjoying the hobby
for yourself.
Mm. Yep. Put that on a fucking t-shirt,
enjoy
boys.
The hobby. Enjoy the hobby for myself.
Enjoy the hobby for doing it badly yourself.
You know what we didn't do at the beginning of this episode? We didn't introduce ourselves.
Yeah.
Who are we enjoying the hobby for? Why don't you start?
You want me to start?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, my name is Joel. I go online as True Gunpla, TrueGunpla.com, everything social media. I do a lot of community content, vlogs of events and build meets, and I have a clothing line that's very integrated with metal and Gundams. A lot of fun stuff. So, but to my left, the beautiful man himself. Yes, Tino. You're trying to do math, and you're like, okay, what is left? How many letters in the word left? Four. There's four of us on a podcast.
I know exactly. I can see the cogs.
23.
In my brain.
The cognizant.
I was trying to be cognizant.
Two.
Engorged.
Yeah. I'm Tino, also known as Big V Roman, all over the internet. I'm mostly a cartoonist. I also build on other times. And to my left, the one and only...
Bailey, I go on the internet, Instagram especially, as Kamau_Zeta. I am a procrastinating, a grad student I said I was?
Something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, we'll go with that. And to my left is...
Hi.
Hi, Dad. I'm Hobby.
Hi. I'm Brandon. I operate MechaGenre.com. My Instagram is MechaGenre. And... I do competitive building, and also I've been working on resin recently, which is kind of weird, and I've just been out there doing it badly. You know, you just got to do it badly.
It's all about doing it badly.
Mm. It's all about doing it.
That full armor is not badly.
Yeah.
Though.
It's not bad.
Do it, though.
You've got a really good job because you did it badly to do it good in the first place.
Just do it.
But you got to start somewhere, and you got to do it badly, and at the end of the day, make sure that you're enjoying this hobby, and you're not just stressing yourself out because you don't have a fucking routine.
Mm-hmm.
This has been the Cutting Mat Podcast. I hope you guys have a good one. Until next time, keep on building. And, who wants... Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Is my name fucking Tino? It's not. Tino, the sign-off boy. Take it away.
I thought you actually took sign-off privileges away from me.
No,
of course not.
They're reinstated.
The fans have spoken. We can never take those away from you.
Oh, my God.
We don't the have podcast them. If we don't can't have you even do this. Give them to you.
The podcast.
You just have them.
Do it.
Don't do this.
Okay.
Look into your heart.
Thank you, everybody.
Right.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to the Cutting Mat Podcast.
You have every right in the world to sign off.
Good. Feel your hatred flow through you.
Do it.
Try
me.
Yeah.
Good.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening.
Do it.
No, you should.
Thank you for listening to the Cutting Mat Podcast. I'm your sign off boy, Tino, also known as Big V Roman. We've already done the introductions. We're not going to do it again.
Now,
this has been. This has been the Super Saiyan 3 episode.
Yes, that's what it is. That's how we're calling it.
Finding your routine. I hope you guys gleaned something from this organized chaos.
Yes.
And we will talk to you guys later.